This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Salute, RBD Salute. Podcast number 8, I think.
I believe it's up to 8 now.
On the phone here, we got professional archer Glenn Boardwell calling in from Tully. Glenn has been shooting pro for, man, it's been a pile of years now, right, Glenny? It's probably been 8 or 9, 10 maybe?
Yeah, I think 2014 is when I signed with Elite, and that's when I did my first, 2015 was my first year I shot indoor as pro, and then I transitioned to 3D as a pro in 2016.
I remember when you shot, I remember your first year as a pro in the IBO, because me and your brother were still shooting semi at the time. Yeah, it's been quite a bit. I mean, and since then, you've taken home a Noam Pro Championship in Metropolis in 2018. I remember that. Shoot, I mean, I remember watching that, and you got that picture hanging up at the shop. You beat what, Perkins that year?
Yep. And I'll shoot off at the end. Quite a few arrows in it, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, and I always enjoy coming up to the shop and seeing that picture. And then you've made the Vegas shoot off twice. One is a lucky dog, and one is a 900. So. You have certainly been putting in the work. Like I said, not to mention you also won our RBD first time ever back-to-back, back-to-back winners. I mean, you've been on the podium there, I think, every year except for the first year you shot it.
Yep.
And that was the year you thought you were going to try to shoot all 14s on every time.
Yeah, that was a little aggressive. I definitely remember never to do that again.
Yeah, that
were you also running two different arrows at that time?
I did bring two because how windy it was, and I think that wasn't a smart decision. I ended up just doing one during the shoot off, but I walked in thinking pretty cockiness that I could hit most of them. That didn't go too well.
Not only did you go for every 14, but you talked your sister into going for every 14 too.
Yeah, it's, we bled both pretty quick.
I mean, I mean, that was definitely one of my more memorable shoot-offs. So you guys got Legends of the Fall up there. I mean, I've been up to your shop a pile of times. We've shot up there a bunch when we were doing the Smackdowns and stuff. How long have you guys been open up there in Tully?
We've been in business 30 years. My parents started the year I was born, which is kind of neat. Yep. Been 30 years, be 30 years this fall, which is pretty cool.
Holy moly. I was just talking to your dad this morning. That is crazy that it's been that long. I mean, so, and you guys are lead dealers, Matthews, Hoyt.
Yep.
You've got an indoor facility up there. Does your brother still do the gunsmithing?
Yep. He's still doing the gunsmithing. We're still selling guns up there too, which has been cool. Ammo here and there. Definitely. New York's ammo has been a little bit of a hit from our governor doing a little bit of changes, but it's still going good.
Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about that over the weekend. I couldn't even imagine being in New York trying to make your way in firearms at this point. A lot of the things you guys do up there are archery related. I know you guys have a gigantic kids league in the winter that your mom and sister run, right?
Yeah, mainly Katie helps, but mainly my mom, give her a ton of credit. She has a couple other helpers. And she runs about 100 kids every Saturday for 10 weeks. And God bless her. It's a lot of kids on a Saturday, and she does a really good job at it.
I, like every time you tell me that number about the amount of kids you get up there, it's staggering to me because I don't even know if there's 100 kids around where I live that even shoot bow. So
it's wild. She gets kids that travel 5 minutes to 45 minutes coming in on Saturdays. It's pretty cool to see, and it's nice to see them. I get to see them from ages like 5 and see them go through the whole program until they graduate high school. It's kind of neat to watch.
I think I have actually probably seen some of the kids that have shot at your place become like young adult archers probably.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I just that's incredible to me that you guys are getting that kind of youth league. I mean that's just a testament to the kind of business you guys are doing up there. So
yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah, so you know, anybody that's up in Tully, New York should stop up there to Legends and go up there and check them out, and you can see all the African safari they've got up there, and
yep.
Pile of big bucks too.
Pile of big bucks. Oh, they're doing seed up there, right? You guys do food plot stuff. Not to mention your dad does all those. He's raising them dogs. Those champions,
the short hairs. Pointers. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, you guys got a lot of stuff going on up there. That's really.
Oh yeah.
So what is your season been like so far? I mean, I know started out, you didn't do any of the late winter indoor stuff, do you? Like, do you go to the Midwest Open and things like that?
Don't do any of those. The only indoors I've been doing lately is just indoor nationals, Vegas, Lancaster, and then I go right into the 3D season.
So you hit all those indoor ones this year, and then
yep.
You started right out, right off the rip, right going down the Foley.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah.
Because that was different this year, right? There was Lancaster, then Foley, and then back to Vegas.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of that stuff. I always liked how we had it before. We're really, you had Lancaster, Vegas, then your 3D season started. And most guys are kind of, internationals run the 3D bows a little bit, are kind of, just kind of didn't really worry about internationals and went right into 3D. Now, being Vegas is after Foley, if you're kind of, it's hard to go back forth and be kind of 100% indoor, 100% 3D. So it's a change, getting used to it, but definitely was a change this year for it.
Yeah. And then next year will probably be just as weird, mate.
It's not worse. I saw the next year we got Vegas at the very end of March. So we're going to have two 3Ds before Vegas. So it's definitely going to be different. It's hard to transition yourself, especially Vegas is a super hard archery. It's hard to transition to go back to that and be ready for it. So it's going to be different, guys. I think, like, for me, I'll probably have to do a different setup for 3D. Just, I don't like to mess with poundage a lot for indoor. So I have to shoot. I don't have to, but I've been shooting 70 for 3D, and I'll probably try to build an arrow setup for the beginning of 3D next year. That'll be, like, a 60-pound setup to run.
So when you're talking about transitioning, you also transitioned from the known pro class, which I think is what you were. Well, you were shooting unknown for a while, and then you went to known pro when they kicked that in the gear.
Yep.
And now you're back to the dark side, back to the unknown.
I grew up doing IVO, so that's how I kind of always did unknown. And then the ASA's got so popular, so I kind of transitioned to that. And I want to stick with the unknown. It's just hard when they start their season in February for just us up in north. We don't see any targets till April, May, June kind of time. So it's just, it kind of at one point for me, it would have been a good transition to do the known stuff. Just, and I don't get to see the targets. And it was good. It was a lot of fun for a lot of years. The known stuff just to me kind of, it got a little, I don't want to say old, but it was just, this doing the unknown again kind of just refreshed me, where it just feels good to shoot the 3D again. I'm excited to go to every tournament. Where the known, there's times it was like, oh, I got another tournament coming up. Hopefully it goes good kind of deal. Just a lot more pressure at it. Where the unknown, I feel like I don't have the pressure like I did in the known.
Well, the known stuff, I mean, I don't think it's quite like a Vegas where it's you can't miss. But it's sort of like that, right? I mean,
yeah, like if you start slow, you put even more pressure on yourself, because you know, like as of lately, last few years, it seems like you had to average 13 to 15 rings every 20 targets. So if you miss the first three or four, you're already almost at your limit of what you can miss in the day. And that right there puts more pressure on yourself. And it just, over and over, at pressure just kind of makes it so it's not fun. It didn't make it fun at times to me. Like, of course, you had a good round. It was a blast. But times it wasn't a good round, it just wasn't the fun like I remembered it before it being.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you've come right back to the unknown side, and you've been competitive since you've come back, right? I mean, especially towards the end of last year, and even, you know, even at Pipestem last month, I mean, you finished real strong just off the cut, but I mean, that was a super hard course. I mean, so it hasn't been that hard for you to go back to judging, it doesn't seem like.
No, it took a little bit last year, though. It took a few months to get the numbers flowing again, to get that just the natural, like, of what targets look like at distances. Kind of just like Dan MacArthur, he said, kind of pitcher is throwing a baseball. Just the pitcher kind of, all right, that target, it looks like 40. Like, it just, I had to get that ingrained in my head again on what it looks like at that distance. And it's coming. Definitely, you still got to put in work at it for sure. It's fun, though. I enjoy it. I there's art to it, and I've always thought it was always neat to be good at it, and I always envy Dan and Levi being how good they are at it.
I love it. I mean, I feel like the IBO is the hardest unknown game going. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've never really had it. Yeah. I would like to go to an ASA, I guess, just to – everybody always talks about the atmosphere down there and stuff like that. I'd like to go down and see it. But I think as far as the game goes, I think the IBO is where it's at for the hardness
of it. Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It's got everything IBO does. It's got the hard judging. It's got the cool looks, the uphills, downhills, side hills.
Yeah.
It's a lot more like, when I tell guys, if you want to see a cool course, go to IBO, for sure. They make the most prettiest ranges you'll ever see, especially when Larry sets the courses. They're amazing.
Yeah.
ASA, they're fun. The ASA is more, I feel like, of a game where you got to be smart about it. You got to not be aggressive at times, and you got to do layup. Like, you have to be really smart with it, or IBO is just, there's no risk reward, so you just got to be the best judger that day and just make the strongest shots. ASA, it's all about just being game strategy. Like, kind of maintaining the courts is not making any dumb decisions, just being smart about it. And that's what last year, it took me half a season to learn what worked for my shot and what worked to make it so I stayed in the 10 ring more.
You're running two different bows, ASA and IBO, or do you run the same?
Right now I am. I've been playing with it this week. I'm contemplating. I'm running a smaller diameter arrow for IBO. I have always thought for IBO, since there's no risk reward, I just never thought, why should you run a big arrow at it?
Your sister, is that your sister leaning on you? Because she got me to switch to skinnies too.
Yeah, well, when I grew up doing IBO, I've shot some of my best scores ever shooting skinnies. Just I feel like they carry better. They shoot really good. They're great. Like for pipestem, I didn't have really any drift. Where I'm watching guys in my group have a 6-8 inch drift, and I'm going, I guess I got the advantage of speaking running skinnies, and I just never thought I'd taken any disadvantage running skinnies.
I think that was the best decision I ever made, was to switch to skinnies. I just don't feel like they miss as much.
No, you hit, like, I'm inside outside, and I'm shooting, like, when I have a bad shot, it still hits pretty close.
So are you running the actual, like, a 166, or are you running more of, like, the standard hunting diameter?
I'm doing in between. I'm running a 204. As of right now, Ultra doesn't have a light enough 166 for me for IBO. I'd have to run like 75, 80 pounds. Their 160 are on the heavier side.
Their
204 is a perfect. I think my 350 spine weighs like 8.22 grains per inch, so I can make it work. The once they come out with a 166 that's light enough, I'd probably give it a try. Yeah. I've had, like, I did the 204 at Pipes, and I didn't have any kind of, like, thinking. I like this shit. I really liked it. No complaints with it.
You're running a Verdict, or are you running?
I'm running the Verdict. Yep, I am running the Verdict. The I get enough speed being we're capped at 300 for IBO and 290 for ASA. I don't have any issues for speed. I've always liked the longer XLXLBO too. I prefer that 38 to 39 inch axle length. So I've played 35, but I seem to always keep going back to 38 to 39 inch length.
So you also played with draw length probably over the last 2 years.
Yes.
How much have you extended your draw length?
At least 3/4 of an inch to 1/2 inch at least. I want to say right now, I haven't checked in on draw board lately, but I believe I'm right in between. I'm probably right around like that 5/8 increase at least right now. The biggest thing I've done is increase my holding weight. I tell guys this at Vegas, the very first year I made Vegas, I was only holding 7 pounds of holding weight, which is kind of unheard of.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I don't know. It worked for me, but I think, though, back then, being a 19-year-old kid, I didn't have any emotions in archery. It was kind of like, I'm here to have fun, and now it's like, all right, I'm here to make money. It's like, and then you think more about it. I've noticed more holding weight helps than when you get high-pressure situations.
So you say more holding weight. What are you approximately? What are you up to now?
I'm holding right around 19 and a half pounds of holding weight.
Right, yeah,
now.
So you're up there with most of them.
Yeah, that's a good amount of holding weight.
I mean, Glenny and I had this conversation last year when he won the RBD, right? I was shooting the Verdict. I asked him the same thing. I said, you know, I like it. Give me a rundown. He's like, you got to get to 18 pounds or more, right? He's like, I think that is what separates some of the people.
A lot of guys are running them Verdicts, man. I mean, a lot of guys that just shoot our tournament, a ton of them are running Elites. I mean, I think I was telling somebody the other day, I think that's probably the most popular bow. I think that, I mean, I don't.
Then the only other thing I could think of would be the title. That's just
I don't think there's as many guys running titles as there were Elites
at the RBD.
The RBD.
Yeah.
Like for local stuff, right? For the things we see around here. Well, I'll tell you what, even when we were at Pipestem, I would be hard pressed to tell you that. Seems like everywhere I turn, there was someone wearing a blue jersey. Oh, yeah.
You see it at the ASA especially. There's a lot of guys running the Verdicts at ASA. Especially ASA being the slower speed cap, guys are doing the Verdict just because they don't need it. I see a couple more Exalts at the IBO just for the speed. But like you said, you see them a lot more. Guys are loving that platform of a bow, that Exalt and Verdict. They are awesome platform. By far, not trying to be biased, being I'm shooting for Elite, but by far the best bow they have ever built. I loved mine.
I think that that's definitely, I mean, it's definitely their best bows since, the only thing I would even compare them to might be when they had the old Energy 35s or,
The Victory,
right? That Victory 39 was like their super popular bow, and people that have them now still don't even let them things go.
Oh, God, no. I still got one of mine. It was just the first one I ever made. Vegas, you die. I will never give that bow away. It's like a souvenir to me now. So I can't give that bow away.
But I do think that right now with the platform they got, with the cam system they got, with all that stuff, I think they've figured it out. Like, they're really – I have them down here at the shop, too, and I think the same thing. This is definitely their best line of bows they've had in a handful of years anyways, for sure.
What's cool about them, too, is they got the three different mods, too, so – anybody could shoot it. Like, if you like the very aggressiveness, you shoot the performance. If you like the crazy amount of holding weight, you can shoot the 75% let off starter. And then, like me, I like to have the smooth draw through it, so that way I just feel like I set up better. So I run the smooths with their mod post all the way out. So that's where I'm getting the holding weight up, and that's just what fits me. What's cool about it, anyone can shoot that bow. Being there's so many different options to it.
So Glenn, are you running cable stops or limb stops?
I've been in cables. I've played with both limbs, cables. I noticed for me, I get a little bit more left and rights running the limb stops, so I transitioned to cables for me. I know, like, Jacob Marlow, he runs cable, the limb stops. He prefers that. It seems that as a lately, probably 90% or more run cable stops now.
Okay. probably also depends on how your shot process is. Like,
yes.
Jake, I feel like, is more static.
Yes, he is. Yeah, and he doesn't hold much holding weight. He's between 12 and 14, usually. I've talked to him. And like you said, he's very static. He does a lot of movement with his hand, with his rotating the release. So he doesn't pull very much. So he's just more moving his release hand. So that's, for him, that works for him.
Right. So you talked about running the 204s for IBOs. What are you running? Are you running your ASA? Is that the same thing you're running for RBD?
No, so RBD, I'm shooting my ASA bow. That one, I'm running the 23s. Running same thing, verdict. The only difference between the bows is the verdict. I'm running ASAs. I'm just running 452X black strings on the IBO bow. I'm running the new gas system X's to get the speed up a little bit. So that's basically the difference between the two bows, and then the arrow setups is the only other difference. I'm running 23s for the ASA, which I'm doing for RBD. IBO, I'm running the 204.
Yeah, well, you smoked it last weekend. I mean, you shot 12 out of 15 11s on the IBO side, and
67% of all the rings.
I mean, I would say, you must have hit 9 out of the, eight of the 12s on that side, or something?
The ASA ball, I really played with that a lot last week, just tinkering. Just, I finally got it to where it felt really good. And at home, at the bag at 50 yards, I was impressing myself. I was like, oh, this thing is real. I was excited for the weekend, especially after hearing Caleb saying how he's –
What did you think of the course down there? Because
I liked it.
So we tried something obviously a little different than what you get here at my place when everybody comes off crying a little bit. I mean, I thought initially walking that course when I first got down there, or I'll say this, I thought looking at the yardages when Caleb first sent them to me, I thought I was going to be disappointed in the course, and then I walked it and seen how people were shooting it and think that that's probably what we need to look like going forward for the majority of the shoots.
Yep. I told guys when I considered that one like a medium course for difficulty. He gave me some gimmies, which I like, which made it easy. Then he had some hard ones, like some of the longer, darker ones, some a little bit like if you wanted to go after aggressive, there was some to go aggressive out of, but you had to be really smart about it, watching your bubbles, because some of those ones are closer. They had a little slight of the side hill like your course has, but not as drastic. But it definitely, you had to be smart about it. Like, I was constantly watching my bubble, which I do at your course. I've seen, like, I've always done fairly well at yours because I'm very cautious of my bubble. I practice that way. Like, behind my house, I actually shoot on a side hill. So I'm constantly, guys always like, why do you guys, like, that's what I get behind my house. And I don't know, it just works for me. And I go to your place, never had any issues with your side hills because that's what I practice on.
Yeah, I think you had the – I think you – last year, season here, you shot, I think, our best round ever here too.
That was one of those days, though, that I felt like every time I shot.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It was all like, you'd be close, you get there, it was in. It was like just one of those days there. It caught every line, kind of. It was just a good day.
Yeah, I thought Caleb did a great job down there, and I think you're right. I think that course was a lot harder than what maybe people might have thought it was. I mean, there was some, like, I was surprised to see some of the scores. The scores were higher across the board, but not everybody. Some people shot better at my place And they shot down there, which tells you that that course was not easy by any stretch.
No. I think the biggest thing is, like, a lot of them, like, there were some lower 40s, which guys thought they can get aggressive. But it's like, when you get aggressive, you got to be smart about it. You can't give points away when you're being aggressive. You got to at least stay 10. And that's where I told guys, like, you can play really really easy in Caleb's if you're getting too aggressive. You had to be, like, just maintain and be smart. Don't, just like in ASAs, what I'm doing, you got to be smart about keeping yourself in the 10. But be also a little aggressive where you can clip some here and there.
Yeah, I think you're right, Glenn. I think another thing, right, is being aggressive. But I think a lot of guys, right, the yardage got them a little bit complacent. Like you said, they walked up and it was a 38-yard ASA, and they're like, yep, got it. But what they forgot is that it was a half bubble out the left, right, and they didn't pay attention. And next thing you know, you're eight, you know, in the eight.
Yep.
Right, I think of like that ASA Javelina, right? I 12'd that, and I think you guys had a pretty good group on that one, right? But that had a lot more bubble than I think people entailed, and it was only it was a low 30s, I think.
Yep.
For yardage.
Yeah, there's another one. I think there was a deer that was like a mid 40s that was pretty good. See if I was on a side chill, and I knew Caleb. As soon as he shot, he goes, "What did I do?" I was like, "You didn't watch your bubble. You hit over." And like I was like, "Those ones will eat you alive if you don't pay attention to your bubble. It really will. It's you can bleed really quick if you're not paying attention to your bubble." I think as for like Rob's course, guys really get eaten alive because they don't ever pay attention to their bubble. That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, we did a tally. We've been trying to do this for each leg of the RBD. So of all 30 targets, what target do you think had the most fives or zeros on it?
For this last one or at Rob's or at all?
Oh, no, at Caleb's.
Oh, it's...
You're probably going to be surprised.
You are probably going to be surprised, so... Not as obvious as you think.
Was it the links just because it blended in with a car?
No. It was not. It was the Catalina goat.
Really? I would have never thought that.
That's a weird target, though. I mean, I don't think a lot of people see that target, and it's just a weird one to look at. I'll tell you what was in the close running. Was that Roebuck?
Yep.
No one ever sees that target.
No, that was a cool set. That one you looked at, it almost looked like a real deer target setup. It was a really cool set that you did on that one. I thought that was a cool target.
I think my favorite set of the whole weekend, though, was that big muley across the ravine.
Yes, that was Caleb did, like, the gator, the mule deer.
Yeah.
The lynx in front of the car. They're all really cool sets.
They were. And even that ASA lynx in front of the dead tree, which we found out later based on somebody hitting the tree, it wasn't so dead.
No,
it's rather live.
Yeah, no, they did a really good job down there. I mean,
they did.
I'm glad we're back there again next year. There's so much ground there.
It was the highest attendance at Keystone.
Oh yeah, no, that leg's growing, and I get it. It's a further trip for the guys from New York, but like with the weekend payouts now, I wonder if we're not able to maybe capture some of those guys that may not want to make that trip all the time. You know what I mean? You've hit twice now on back-to-back legs with a little bit of the money from the weekend. I know we've talked about it quite a bit with those weekend payouts. I mean, how do you see them playing out? Is that something that you think is going to be a plus for us going forward? I mean,
I think so. I really do. Like, I have one of our guys that took second place. He was in the shop today. Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Yep. I told him he didn't know yet, and he thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I think that right there is going to make him.
He shot really well. He shot five or six up.
Yep. He was very pleased with his outing. He told me about it, and he just got this new bow a few weeks ago, so he was really liking it, and when I told him he won $150-some, he thought it was the coolest thing.
So that's what I wondered, right? We added that extra 20, so we could pay out the weekends. But I think the overwhelming response to the weekend payouts, regardless of whatever they win. I mean, I know you're not going to win $1 million if you're down there in the fifth or sixth flight or whatever, but I think just that little bit of money and that little bit of chance that maybe you can get into it.
Well, I mean, the way I look at it is, right, the people that are in the fifth, sixth, and seventh flight for each leg, right, they're guaranteed nothing at each leg being down where they are. Right now, they at least have a chance. It's a gamble. I mean, I know it's $20, but Some of those guys are happy if they go home with a $40 check in their mailbox.
I saw someone on a Facebook post how she goes, "This is the first time I won any money." She's gonna frame it. Like, that was a big deal. It's like, it's cool. It's something that maybe someone no one will ever get another chance in. They maybe had a chance that weekend. It is a pretty rewarding feeling to win something out of shoot.
That was Brianna Sellers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Sellers' wife.
And
they both own Average Jack Archer.
Yeah. And Nate also hit.
They both hit, though.
Yeah, Nate also
hit. Nate also hit for like 100 and some bucks, cool. too.
Yep. Nate's a great shooter, great guy. That's awesome.
I have gotten to know him now for probably the last half dozen years or something, and I enjoy the hell out of that guy.
Awesome
guy. And he's a really good, like, you want to talk about, like, I was blown away when I first seen him shoot a bow, because I didn't know him from anything. I never seen him around anywhere, and he came up here and shot a five spot with a hunting rig and shot a 58, maybe 58, 59.
It was high 50s.
It was something stupid, and I thought, oh, I better find out who this fella is right away.
not only that, but Glenn was part of it, right? During your Invitational. Yeah. This dude rolls up and shoots a 327 with a 9. With a 9. Yep. He gets off the lane. He's like, should have had a 329.
I mean, I guess, I think I was talking to Nate about this. And for guys who probably, the average person who knows Nate probably knows more about his YouTube channel, his, like, the things he does, like, on promotions and things like that. He's a face on the internet, right?
Yes.
They may not know that he is a hammer.
Yeah.
Like,
he's good. He is very good. I was very impressed when he shot that score here off Lancaster warm up. I was like, dang, Nate, that's an awesome score.
Yeah, don't lump him in with the rest of the YouTubers.
No, he's one that shoots. Yeah.
He will sneak up on you and take your lunch money.
He is definitely one of the guys that can talk the talk, but he can walk it.
Yeah, the thing is, he doesn't even talk the talk. He just wanders in and no one pays any attention to him. The next thing you're handing him the money.
I mean, the aspect of he's on YouTube talking about all this stuff archery, but at the end of the day, he still backs it up. Like, don't put a bow in his hand. You're going to shoot against him.
Yeah.
He's very good.
No,
he's also enjoyable to shoot with. Right? I shot with him and Garrett Anderson here at Your Leg, and those guys are just, they're competitive, but at the same time, they're having a good time shooting a bow.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, what's up next for you, right? We got, Franklin this weekend?
Yep, Franklin next weekend, then I got a weekend off, then out to Metropolis with my favorite ASA of the year.
Yeah, Metropolis, well, it should be, right?
Shocking it is.
it's just the best lighting out of all of them. It's the most consistent lighting. I feel like it's very, if you're in a groove, you can really get away with a score like Sluzar did last year. Like, he got in a groove, everything's the same, and you can, when you're going, it goes. He showed it last year in the unknown. He put up some insane score that weekend.
What? When's the season over for you? When do you start getting ready to start thinking about deer hunting? I mean,
after IBO Worlds, once I shoot that last shot at IBO Worlds, my bow is usually put away till about end of November. Once bow season's over with, then I get my indoor bow out. It's usually IBO Worlds, which is I think the second
week in August. Yeah.
That's my last tournament. Then after that, my target bow's put away, and the hunt bow comes out.
Yeah.
So it's probably a little early yet, but you got any future studs on showing up on the camera yet, Glenn?
Not yet. We had a great season of bucks that made it over last season. We had a lot of sheds. My sister's boyfriend won a pile of sheds this year. We got some potentials. Nothing like the buck I shot a couple of years ago. That one will be a hard one to beat.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
One of the funniest things here at the shop was Caleb bringing his buck in, and then you bringing yours in, and us basically placing Caleb's inside of yours.
And the funny thing is, too, is that buck of Caleb's, I don't remember what he said it scored. It was in the 130s.
Caleb's was a good deer.
It was a great deer, and it was just – no offense to him, right? But it was one of those things that like Glenn just shows up and goes, "That's cute."
Yeah, that deer he shot though was so heavy.
Yeah, he texted me after, he goes, "Way to show me up." I was like, "Sorry, I figured the guys would like to see him." He was a unique deer I shot, one that we were after for quite a while. He just blew up a mass.
What did that end up scoring? High 150s?
No, low 150s. He was He was mainframe 8 with a ninth point that was only an inch and a half. He was 151. He grossed out. He just His mass, wicked wide and wicked nasty. Well,
way
his,
heavy.
His main beams must have been, they must have been incredibly long, though.
I think they were just shy of 25. His width was, just shy of 24, because I lost a little length, because I've come to find out your width can't be bigger than your main beam length. Yes. So I lost a little bit that. So his main beams are 27/8, and his width was 24.
That was a deer you had been watching for a couple seasons, right?
Yeah. Yep. I seen him. We figured he was 6.5. I started hunting him at when he was 4.5, and he just was a smart deer, very nocturnal. He would hit this ridge a couple times during the season, usually late October, early November. And if he got any pressure to him, though, he would go nocturnal, it seemed like. And just that season, I left it alone, just knowing I have to wait till the very end of October and just wait till east wind, which we hardly ever get. And once we had an east wind with a cold front came in, it just all worked together. He came cruising the ridge at 10:30 in the morning. I grunted him in, and there it ended.
Did you go out in the spring to do any turkey hunting? I think you did, right?
Yeah, I did get one. I got my second to best bird this season. He was a hammer. He didn't have the biggest beard length. He was about 8.5-inch beard, but his spurs were second best. They're 1.5-inches.
Nice.
Good.
He was a stud bird.
Good bird.
Yeah, but not only are they shooting deer and turkeys, they've started playing with the thermal stuff. And his dad are laying them down.
I say, don't even get going on Jeff laying down the coyotes.
Those are all things you carry at the shop, right? A lot of that equipment?
Yep, we're doing pulsars at the shop. That's been a whole new hobby now. It seems like after league nights now, we're going almost every night after league night. It's an addiction now. It's a blast.
I might have to make a trip up there and check out some of them scopes.
Because you guys are like getting maybe three a night or sometimes.
The times we go there is a very good chance. I had something got bumped in my gun, and I killed one night. I shot at three different coyotes in one night within an hour and a half. Come to find out my gun was off, and I had to do a little tweaking on it, but it's back on. But, yeah, we're piled with them. We definitely have laid them out on the last two seasons. Just last year alone off one property, we shot 18.
Are those things that you – like, have you been running that equipment for a long time and just now recently started carrying them? Or are those new items to the shop that you guys are now utilizing?
Yeah, new items to shop that we're just starting to utilize ourselves. We had a guy who was a trapper that was one of the best trappers I know of. He's kind of transitioning away from trapping and just hunting, and we noticed our coyote population started to go back up quite a bit. We always thought about getting it. We finally just bit the bullet, and we're like, well, if we're going to do it, you might as well sell it too, because we've had a ton of guys asking why we aren't doing it, and we got into Pulsar, which we believe is one of the best ones out there. And by far, it's just taken off. Guys are loving it. It's a little pricey to get into, but you don't realize how much you use and how much you love it. And we're kind of a thing where we like quality. I don't want a guy to buy something cheap and not like it. I want him to buy it and be done with it kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean,
you talk about it being a little pricey, Glenn. Just like how much are you talking for like a decent scope?
A decent scope. They had a sale this past year. We got a few left. They're going right around $2,500. They were $3,000 last year, and that one has no rangefinder on it. The one with the rangefinder is $3,500. So they are a little pricey, but they got, I believe, a 5-year warranty on them. They're very good about the warranty. If you have any issues, they take it back, make sure it's nothing where they can't fix. If they can't fix it, they'll send you a brand new scope. Very easy to use. They got very easy YouTube stuff to watch to show you how to set it in. They're just really good. Biggest thing is their detail. There's cheaper ones, but the problem is your detail is really bad, and you kind of need the detail for that, just so there's no mistakes that happen.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I would argue, it's a little pricey, but man, what people pay for scopes that can't see through the night. You know, you're looking at probably $1,500, or even some people spend $2,000 on Swarovski and stuff like that. So
I know guys are spending around like a grand, and I think it's called ATNs, and then they have to get like a light for it. And by the time they get the light, and they're still at $1,500, and they don't see half as good as what we're seeing. It's like, why don't you invest the extra $1,000 and see very good detail? Like mine, I could see how it's plain as day out to 400 or 500 yards and know what I'm shooting where.
That's what I was just going to ask. How far out can you get?
Yeah, you got like two different games there. You have night vision, which, I mean, most of the lower end night vision scopes come with stuff that you can hardly see 100 yards. And then you got to spend $300 to get like a sniper hog setup to really be able to see stuff. But like I've been able to get behind a thermal scope, and it's a lot of fun.
Sorry, we're all laughing here, Glenn. We're all laughing here at the shop because we're getting into a territory where Rob is completely clueless on, and he's just staring at the wall while Matt and you and I are going in on this conversation.
You do what with what? I know your dad's super into it. I mean, your dad, it seems like that's become your dad's new favorite hobby.
All it is during the wintertime when he doesn't grouse hunt now or shoot a little bit, it's that. He goes, like I said, 3-4 times a week, and he goes with his buddy Steve Dayton, and they just hammer on the coyotes. They have a riot. They show me. That's the cool thing, too, is you can video most of the stuff, too, so you can show people, like, your hunt that night, which I think is really cool. What's better than being able to show your buddies what you did that night? So it's a cool thing to get into.
That's yeah, kind of, and, like, there's no better way to sell it than go, oh, here's what you see exactly through the scope, and instead of trying to look on YouTube for 10,000 reviews from every...
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Now, like, what time are you guys going out? Like, I know a lot of people go out at 3 in the morning, and that's kind of the hardest thing about it. But
yeah, usually we're kind of going, like, we're going a lot of times after league night, which we go right around 9. We usually go 9 to midnight because we got our day jobs the next day. So we're a big 9 to midnight, 9 to 1. Every once in a while, like, my dad do it. There was one night where we rotated where I went from 9 to, like, midnight, 1 in the morning, and then he switched me out. We have a blind. We have a bait set up, too, and we were noticing – we have a trail camera, too. We were noticing there was a – like, coyote seemed to show up between, like, 11 and 3, so we rotated half out, and that was a cool – I shot one. He shot one. That was kind of neat, but we're usually a 9 to 1 kind of thing just because we got the jobs the next day.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because when I was big into it, not with the pulser and stuff like that, but just like the red lights and stuff, like we had the best success at 3 a.m. However, to your point, I have a day job, and that is hard to justify.
It's rough. Like even the midnight one in the morning, like especially I got kids now where my youngest one, he's up every morning at 5:36, and my wife, she has to be at school at 7:30 to start her job. So it's like I'm up with him, and that 4 or 5 hours of sleep, you only can do that a couple of days in a row, if that.
Sleep's overrated, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. You must love when I try to call you in the morning at 7 o'clock when I've been up for 2 hours, and I'm like, I wonder if Glenn's up right now.
I'm up, but I got a crazy two-year-old going crazy.
Yeah, no. No, that's cool. It is cool.
All right, brother. Well, I think we'll wrap this up, man. Thanks for stopping over here tonight. It was definitely good talking to you.
Yeah, always enjoy it, guys. You guys have an awesome program up, RBD.
We really enjoy the hell having you guys come down. I like having you top flight tier kind of shooters down here banging it around. I mean, you and Brady, Katie's now up near the top, even though she's not going to.
I really wish she was going to go to the last one. She shot so good at Caleb's, and I was like, dang. Me and her were neck and neck to the last 10 targets, and she had an 8, and I hit a good amount of the last few, so we set. But she is such a talented shooter. I'm bummed she's not going to your last leg.
We'll see. Well, I will forgo our last leg because I know she's coming to Franklin this weekend, and it'll be the first time she's shot unknown. Long time,
she,
right?
She shot at Snowshoe. How long ago has it been? When was the last time Snowshoe happened?
4 years ago, probably.
Yeah, I think she shot it there 1 year. That's the one I've never been to Snowshoe, which I regret. But she did just shoot Snowshoe once.
You never shot Snowshoe?
No, I've been there when I was really little and my dad shot it, but I personally never shot it.
You weren't missing much.
I heard those are very challenging courses.
Yeah, those are challenging courses, and they were like, it was like, I never understood how in this day and age they expected someone to go somewhere for 4 days and be completely shut off from the rest of the world. And like, you were in a dead zone of nothingness down there. You couldn't even call your buddies to see if you wanted to have dinner with somebody that was there. You had to like run into them down there. But that's, you know, one less drive all the way out down there to West Virginia. I do like the place they're at now.
I'm bummed that we're getting this our last year there. I saw we have a different venue next year, it's just as good.
I did see that. I'm kind of bummed, too. I mean, I like that golf resort place down there.
I liked it last year. The only thing I do kind of miss in the world is I do miss the ski lifts. I always thought to make if you made it the last day, it was kind of rewarding to get to ride the ski lift one more time.
Yeah, I do like the ski lift too. I do kind of miss the days of like Elliott Cotville and Seven Springs, but
that's what I grew up on.
Yeah, good luck this year trying to go for the 3-peat of the RBD.
Yeah, yeah, you'll be our first time 3-time. Well, you're back to back winner, first time ever for that. You might put his foot on everybody's throat. Just hold on to them big checks for another year.
The Levi Morgan of RBD.
Yes.
So as long as I'm not too aggressive, I'll try my best.
Well, hey, good luck next weekend, brother. I'll see you down there at Cranker. Yeah. Thanks, Glenn.
I'll see you, boys.
I'll see you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.